Okay, today's daf is Chulin, daf Samach Dalet. Welcome back to all, Baruch Hashem. We're back here in Beit Shemesh, Eretz Yisrael, broadcasting from the other side of the ocean, from this side of the ocean, and we continue with Elu Treifus, last couple of blot of this parak. Four more days to Elu Treifus before we get on to other topics. But we have been talking these past couple of days about the Simanim of Kashrus, of the kosher and non-kosher animals. As I mentioned during the last year, the parak is divided into two halves. The first part is all about the treifus and the ksheris related to kosher animals. What is kosher, what is treif in terms of the anatomy of the different parts of the animal. And then the second half of the parak, starting with the Mishnah, Daf Nun Tes, Simani Behema V'chaya Nemru Min HaTorah, the Simanim, that's also somewhat anatomical, but it's also a little different in terms of identifying kosher and non-kosher animals. Tameh and Tahar, not within Tahar in terms of the anatomy. So we continue that discussion. Today, we'll start with Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Tana Rabbanan. Five lines up from the bottom, and we will talk about buying eggs. Buying eggs. So says the Brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Lochin Beitzim Min Ha'ovdei Kochavim B'chol Makom. You're allowed to buy eggs from anybody. From any non-Jew, one is allowed to buy eggs. Vein Choshashin Lo Mishim Nevelos Lo Mishim Treifus. One doesn't have to be worried that the egg came from a mother who was a hen who was a nevela, or a chicken who was a nevela or a trefa. Right? And then we would apply the principle that it wouldn't be a kosher egg. But we don't have to be worried if the if we could assume that it is not from a nevela or a trefa. Ask the Gemara of Dilma de Oftame Ninu, right? It's an obvious question. But why do we trust that? Maybe it's from a non-kosher mother. Oftame, maybe it's a non-kosher animal, non-kosher bird. Amar Avu de Shmuel, Ba'omer shel Of Ploni Tahar. It's where the non-Jew says that it is from a specific kosher bird. This is a bird that was a specific bird, so-and-so. Let's finish this sentence, and then we'll talk about each line. Says the Gemara, then v'lema shalof tahar. Why does he have to say be so specific? Right. First, we say, why do you trust him in the first place? Maybe it's an of tabe. So he says, no. He says it's a specifically kosher bird, plony bird. And then we say, so why does he even have to specify? Just say it's from a kosher bird. What do you have to specify for? Yihachi isle lish tamute. Because if he doesn't specify the specific bird, so then we would be worried because then he can literally slip away. Why? What does this mean? What's the basis of this ne'amanus? After all, this is a non-Jew we're talking about. This is when does a non-Jew have ne'amanus? Right? Eid echa ne'amar bisurin, but not by a non-Jew. So what's it based on? So it's based on the svara of Rashi says of milsa da avide legluye, by something that's going to be revealed in the future. We assume that a non-Jew is not going to lie because, or anybody's not going to lie because he can be found out to be a liar. Second to last Rashi on the Yamud, shel of ploni tahar va'anu yodim she'oso of tarhu. Right, he says it's from a specific type of bird, and we know that bird is tar, and we can just bring another egg and compare it. V'davar she'eno anu yacholun lahavchin, ulahavi beitzi oso of liros im domin le'ela lo mishaker. So he's not going to lie if we can bring another bird that is the same type and compare. So that is the principle of misi davidi legluye lo mishakri. Right? The Ramban emphasizes explicitly here that you see that principle applies even to a non-Jew. Doesn't only apply to a Jew, that might not be Naaman in certain cases, but even to a non-Jew, we have the principle of Milsa Davidi Legluye. It comes up in other places also. We discussed a few weeks ago about the principle of Kfela in Yeridea, that sometimes we would rely on a non-Jewish baker to test if there was shishim, if it tastes like the Isser. And again, that might also based on the principle of Milsa Davidi Legluye. We said the Rama says we don't do that bismanazeh, but that is the principle of why they would be Naaman. The Rambam also mentions this principle in another context. Right? Not only here by kosher birds, not only by bittul, but the last halacha in Hilchos Gerushin. Last halacha, says the Rambam, Al yiksha be'inecha shehitiru chachamim ha'erva ha'chamura be'edus isha. It shouldn't be difficult in your eyes that the rabbis allowed an erva the stringency in the context of erva, the edus isha, o eved, o shivcha, o goy hamesiach lefitumo. We allow edus isha to allow a woman to get remarried based on the testimony of a woman or an eved or a shivcha, people who are non-Jew, people who are usually not believed in halacha, in edus, hamesiach lefitumo, ve'ed mipi ed, umipi aksav, ubelo drisha v'chakira. Right, don't be it's such a difficult, such a stringent context, erva leading to arayas, and yet we have such low standards, says the Rambam. Shelo hikpida Torah al ha'edus shnei edim v'shar mishpatei ha'edus ela bedavar she'ein ata yachol la'amod al biryo ela mipi ha'edim ube'edusan. So that you only could find out the reality, the metzius, through the edim, that's where we would say that you need edus, kagon, sheheidu shezeh harag etzeh, o hilva etzeh, aval davar sheef shalamona bo yoshalomi piyayid. But by something that you can ascertain, even without this guy, meaning if the Baal walks in. Ve'en eid yachol hi shamet im ein adavar emes, kagon zeh sheheid shemes ploni, lo et pita Torah lov, shedavar rachok hu sheyayid bo ha'eid b'sheker. It's very, very, very far-fetched to assume that he would be made sheker, lefichach hekilu chachamim bedavar zeh, and that's why the chachamim were mekel. And then the Rambam asks, kedei shelo yisharu benos yisrael agunos. They don't remain agunos. So it is difficulty in the Rambam. It sounds like he starts off talking about it on a darabanan level, then goes to a daraisa level, and says, al yikshem einecha shetiru chachamim. And then she'll be the Torah, and then he ends up by saying, "Kadosh lo yishar b'nos laguno." So we're not doing Hilchas the second half of Yevamos right now. That's an important exact lashon. What exactly the Rambam is getting at? But he mentions that idea of milsa davidi legluye, that if you're going to find out, you know, something, so then we could trust even sources that are usually not trusted. The Ravid adds in, isn't there another principle, daiko mitzvah, right, that the Gemara says in Yevamos on Daf Peches, that a woman would check out before she gets remarried. That also is a reason why we trust. Anyway, that's the Rambam, where we see another context where he has such a principle, a milsa davidi legluye. So buying eggs and asking a non-Jewish baker to eat. We had that in the first Chelek of Yoredei a few weeks ago. We mentioned it. And our case of Eidus Isha. So that's where Milsa Davidi Legluye comes up. Number one. Number two, important discussion that the Rishonim have on our Gemara. Again, the Gemara asked in the first question, maybe it's a non-kosher bird. How can you buy eggs from a source that you don't know? Maybe it's from a non-kosher bird. Ask the Rishonim, ask Tosfos right here, but why don't you just go after Rof? V'yim Tomar, Kiva de Ovos Tarim, Have Ruba, Nazal Basaruba. Didn't we say the past couple of days that there are less non-kosher birds in the world? That's why the Torah lists off the non-kosher birds and not the kosher ones. And Hashem knows, we have those beautiful lines of Agarata and of Samach, Hashem knows that what are the kosher birds, what are the non-kosher birds, that's why he lists them. This is part of the proof that the Torah has a divine author. So Tosa says, but there are more kosher birds. That's why the Torah lists the non-kosher ones. So why don't you just go after the Rof? So you need this whole new principle of the Brisa. Oh, you're allowed to buy eggs. Of course you're allowed to buy the eggs. Right, called the Parish, Beruba Parish. Right, you took an egg from the Rof. Tosas kasha, v'dibu basa nezim basa ruba. Tosas' answer, ulefi ma shepirashti demar bekama minim nicha. Tosas' answer is, well, there are more species of non-kosher birds, but there might be more types of birds within those species than there are kosher birds. Right, we mentioned that there are 400, was that earlier on this daf? Right, there are 400 non-kosher birds in the Meirav. We had all these different types of mamres, right? We had 700 types of fish and 800 types of grasshoppers. So there are a lot of within the non-kosher. Those are kind of like the avos, but there are a lot of categories within those. So Tosa says it could be that there are more non-kosher birds in the world. It's just there are less species. Interesting discussion. How do you define rove? Do you go by types? Or do you go by number? Right, Tosa's kasha says you go by categories. You go by types. Masha'enki, according to Tosa's answer, is like, no, Lamaisa, you go by numbers, and therefore, there might be more non-kosher birds. That is Tosa's answer to the question. But the other Rishonim here, he asked the question and gave a different answer. Look at the Ramban and the Rashba. They also asked the question. The Ramban asked the Kasha and accepts an answer that the Rashba says you cannot accept. The Ramban says, Rabban asks the same kasha as Tosis. V'del pirish, afal pisha ofos tahorin merubin, smoch mi'uta denevelos v'trefos litmein, v'havilu ruba. Tosfos says you have another miyat. You're right, rove birds are kosher. So we have a miyat birds that are not kosher, and you also have a miyat of kosher birds that are nevelos and trefos. Even the kosher birds are not all perfectly able to eat. So Tosfos said, the Ramban says, you have two miyuts. Two miyuts cannot get a roof. That's the Ramban Shita. You have miyut of non-kosher, and even in the roof kosher, you have a miyut of nevelos and trefus, so you're allowed to put those two miyuts together to knock out the roof. That's what the Ramban says. The other Rishonim are not so convinced by this. Just because you have two miyuts, first of all, how do you know those two miyuts add up to the roof? Maybe the roof is still more than the two miyuts. Question one. Question two is, how are you allowed to combine miyuts? Why don't you say, this is what the Rashba says, why don't you say that each the rov knocks out each of the miyuts? The rov knocks out this miyut, the rov knocks out that miyut. Why should two rovs, you know, be able to be mitzarif to that? V'yesh b'shatirets, the smoch miyuta de ofos, this is the Rashba talking, v'yesh b'shatirets, my Rebbe, the Ramban says, the smoch miyuta de ofos t'meyen, l'miyut de nevelos v'trefes, v'havi l'hu ruba. Says the Rashba, v'lo mechuver, de im kain, first of all, the Mishnah, the Gemara should have said, Dim Kane Habi Lameimar, Vidilma Asuros Ninu. A more inclusive Lashon. Right, what did the Brisa say? The Vidilma Of Tame. What do you mean? Of Tame is a non-kosher bird. It should have used a more inclusive Lashon if you're trying to include two different miyuts. Should have said, Vidilma Asuros Ninu. Tavi Bechla Lashon Zeb, Bein Nevelos Vetrefus, Bein Of Tame. It says, Of Tame, so it's Lashon, they're not using that other rove. The other miyut of nevelos and trefus. So number one, who says those two roves could combine? Even if you want to say they both work, maybe it's still less than the rove. Number two, maybe each miyut is knocked out by the rove before they can come together to be mitzaref. Yeah. And number three, aren't these two different kinds of miyuts? Even if you want to say this with the Achronim get it, even if you want to say that sometimes miyuts could come together, but these are two kinds of miyuts. A miyut is usually something that has to undermine the rove. What is the rove here? Rove kosher birds. So what goes against that? Non-kosher birds. Nevelos and trefus, that's a different kind of, that's more like a svek sveka, we would call it. Right, if you have a bird and you're not sure, maybe this is non-kosher, and even if it's kosher, maybe it's Nevela Trefas. You wouldn't use the idea of two miyuts and a rove, but this is the discussion of the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Achronim getting the act here related to that discussion. The Minchas Chinuch, I saw, uses this discussion of the Ramban and the Rashba in a different context. Just say this and then we'll go to the final answer. That is the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Samach. Mitzvah, the end of Mitzvah Reish Samach. The Minchas Chinuch discusses the Aveira of cursing a parent. Parshas Kedoshim, Shlo Kalel of Aim. So he talks about how is it possible that we would ever kill a person? That's the punishment for Makalel of Avimo. Shlo Kalel of Aim. Shneamar Ish Ishay Kalel of Avimo. I'm reading the Chinuch. For Ha'emes Sheikar Azarei Bekil Azav Aim Einam and Amikra Zeh. Ki Bekal Lo Yaskir Rak Onesh B'Makalel. Really, the Isser is earlier, but this is the source of it where the Chinuch talks about it. But the Minchas Chinuch at the end talks about. What about, how do you know for sure that this is the father? The mother, you know for sure who the mother is. But the father, you're never 100% sure who a father is. So the Minchas Chinuch is discussing that issue. Ulachar Kashali. The Gemara has a special limud that the Chinuch quotes to teach me that a person is Chayim Misa if they curse their father even after the father dies. Still Chayim Misa. Might be a difference between Hakka'a and Makalel. Makalel is Chayim Misa even after the parent dies. So the Gemara has a special pasuk for that. So ask the Minchas Chinuch, what do you need a special pasuk for? Ha'av below ribui yadina de Chayiv la'achar Misa. Why? De iamrina de ino Chayiv la'achar Misa de gabe av sarich gamkin bibekuyam sheba amecha. What, you need him to be mekuyam? Without the limud, we would have thought, oh, it has to be mekuyam, he can't be dead. Imkein gam ha'makalel aviv trefa pater.
Lefisha Manshin is Bayer. You have a source for Lachar Misa. What? Because before that Lachar Misa wouldn't have known it? So are you telling me there's no source for Trefa? If a person curses their father Trefa, which has the halachic status of Misa, so that's, that he's not going to be Chayef for that? Ibkin, Hechas Vator, the Makal Aviv Chayef Skila. Maybe. Maybe this father is a trefa. How would he ever put it to death? V'iyaz lina basa ru, but if you go after Rove, maybe you have two miyuts that could come together, like our Rashba. Right? You have a miyut of trefas, and then a miyut of people who are, right? The Higshua Rishonim HaMavur, Shav the Gavi Yadul, the Fein Shomer Vahayam, the Ofos Tarim Marubin. He quotes our Gemara. T'loz lina basa ru, b'hecha di'ika shnei miyutin, miyut tamim, a miyut trefas. Imkein, here too, havili shnei miyutin. Dilma lav aviv hu, v'dilma trefa. El al karchach the chayiv afal aviv trefa. So it must be, you don't say that, and therefore it must be that you're chayiv even on aviv trefa, and you don't need a limud for that, and therefore he's back to his question, so what do you need a limud for la'achar misa? Okay, he answers that question in a different way. He says, lo shayach zed, to say that the two miyats knock out the rov, related to our question. But he quotes that idea of this Rashba Ramban discussion, the end of mitzvah reish samach. Are you allowed to put together two different miyats in order to knock out a rov? That is the discussion here. But so far, what do we have? We have two answers. Just want to mention a third answer. So Tosfos says, maybe it's not a rove, because you have more non-kosher animals, right? Just within the less species. The Rashba quotes and the Ramban accepts the answer, you have two miyats. You have the miyat of the Nevelis and the Trefus also. And the third answer, the Ran, says, look at the language of the Brisa. You're allowed to buy eggs from a non-Jew, b'chol makom. What did that extra phrase, b'chol makom, teach me? The Ran says that's what it's coming to answer. Mikol b'chol makom is coming to answer our question. V'li nira, after he quotes the other answers. The Brisa, this is on the Chaf Aleph from the base, in the back. V'li nira, the Brisa hachiktani. Lochin beitzim b'chol makom v'afilu b'makom sh'ofus t'mei and merubim and atahorim. Even in a case where you don't have rov. Ofus tmein or meruba kagona makom oshein b'shchunas hamidbaros v'haynu dektani b'chol makom mishum de'lagab echshasha dof tamei lav aruba samchinan el mishum de'amar shalof ploni hein v'tarhu kidamaskinan. Says the Ran, the ikar is because you're not following rov here. You're right, if it was just an issue of rov, maybe you'll have two miyats to knock out the rov, or maybe you'd have a rov and it would be a pashit to follow the rov. But says the Ran, the issue here is that we believe the guy. We believe him because he says shel of, because it's going to become revealed, and therefore that is why you don't get into the question. It's not really based on rov and miut. You don't get into Tosas's kasha. Right? Instead of giving an answer, you undermine the question. It's the Ran's answer here, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, three answers in the Rishonim. So Tosa says you're allowed to buy the eggs from the non-Jew as long as they say that it is from a specific bird. Specific bird, specific kosher bird, so we could then check, because we would be able to check and compare, not that we have to, but because we would be able to check, he would be scared to lie, and therefore we're able to trust. Just one final note, and that is, Tosfos later on says, nowadays our minhag is to buy even without the non-Jew saying this, because they're all from kosher sources today. Right, Tosfos says, we're going to look at the next Amud for a minute. And we'll get back to the rest of this Tosfos position later. Look at the next Amud for a minute. The last medium line. The last medium line in Tosfos. Umash anu lochim in ovdei kochavim beitzim afal pi she'enam omrim shalof ploni tahorim heim. How do we do that? We buy eggs just even if they don't say they're from specifically, right? You go to the store and buy eggs, even though you don't know where they're from. Anusom kanal rov beitzim shemitsuyin beinenu to shel ofos taharim heim. Most eggs that we get are from ofos taharim. We'll get back to this later. That's a shame. We'll talk about blood spots. But that's what Tosa says, that nowadays that we don't have to worry about even having specific information. This is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes also in Yerodea, Simon Pevav. Sid Veis quotes this Tosfos that we don't have to worry. Peivav, let me just read a few, if I could find it quickly. Peivav, Sif Beis, Achshav Noagim Likach Beitzim Bistam Mikal Adam, Lefishein Beitze Of Tamei Matsui Beinenu. Right? They're not found eggs of non-kosher sources aren't found amongst us. The Ramah says already, the Rosh Hashanah says 500 years ago, based on Tosfos, and therefore, we don't have to worry. The Shach discusses, afilu ein lo mitzvias ayin. What if they look a little different Is it even if they look a little different? Are you allowed to trust? That's a machlokas that the Shah quotes. He's nota l'chumra in that case. Okay. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, continuing, second to last line, v'livda b'simanim. What do you have to trust the non-Jew for? Why don't you just check? Check the simanim of these eggs. D'tanya, k'simani beitzim, kach simani dagim. The simanim of eggs are just like the simanim of fish. Says the Gemara, what? Simani dagim saka daitach. Simanim of fish, tapir v'kaskeses al barachwara. Fins and scales. You mean the simanim of dagim? So it can't be like the eggs are not like fish. Ela ema kach simane ubre dagim. No, the ubars, the eggs of fish and the eggs of birds are similar. You're right, after they come out, you have snapir v'kaskeses, they're very different. But the simanim of the ubars, Rashi says, beitzei hadagim kmo sheim mechubarin yachad, how they are all together. How? V'tanya gabi beitzim, elu hein simani beitzim, what is the simanim of beitzim? Koshe koderes va'agul goles. Any egg that is cone round shaped. Those are the eggs of the kosher sources. Rosha echad kad, v'rosha echad chad. One is more round, one is more sharp, meaning more pointy. Tahora. That is the side of a tahor egg. Beis rasheha kadin, or beis rasheha chadin tamein. If they're both round, or they're both more pointy, then they're tamei. Chelbon mi bachutz, v'chelmon mi bifnim, tahora. If the white is on the outside and the yellow is on the inside, tahora. Is that like we have? Chelmon mi bachutz, v'chelbon mi bifnim tamei. And if it's the opposite, it's a sign of a tamei bird. Chelmon v'chelbon mu'uravin zebazet. What if they are mixed up together? B'yadua shi beitzas asheretz. That's a beitzas asheretz. And therefore, you know that is a non-kosher egg. Question mark. What do you see from that whole thing? You could check. So why don't you just check? What do you have to rely on the non-Jew for? Just check to see what the egg looks like. So the Gemara answers, no, lo tzricha dechatuchos. It's already cut up. And you're still allowed to buy it. Still allowed to buy it, but it's already cut up, and that is the kadosh. So you cannot check how it looks. Says the Gemara, okay, you can't check the shape of the egg, but there's still one check that you could do. V'livdok b'chelmon v'chelbon. That's still possible. Right, the white and the yellow, even if it's after it's cut up, you could see what was on the outside, what was on the inside, the chelbon and the chelmon. Answers the Gemara, bitrufos bekara. No, it's already mashed up. It's already mixed in. They already beat the egg. So it's all trufos bekara, and you could still buy it. Right, that's the chiddush of the Tosefta. You could still buy it, and there's no way to check, but you could trust that it is from the kosher sources. We have a question on this now, but the Rishon pointed out, the Rashba says, you could have asked another question on this. The whole basis of the Ne'emanis has just fell away. What was the whole basis of the Ne'emanis? Milsa Davidu Lagluye. That you could come and bring another egg and compare it. You don't have that anymore. So why should it be believed at all? So you're right, the Gemara could have asked that question, but it asked a different question. So it says the Gemara, V'kiya gavna mizav ninon minayu. Do we buy already taruf bekara eggs from a non-Jew? Do we allow that? Are we allowed to buy that from him? Vatanya ein mochrin beitzas treifa lo v'kachavim ela imkein trufa bekara. We don't sell a beitzas treifa, an egg treifa, to a guy unless ela imkein trufa bekara, unless it is already mixed into the. You don't sell him unless it's already taruf. Why? Because if we sell him an egg of a treifa, we're worried that he's going to sell it to a Jew. If it's already taruf bekara, then we don't worry. Why? Because Jews don't buy that from a guy. Lefichach ein lochem ebeisim trufas bekara. Jews are not allowed to buy that from a guy because Jews are allowed to sell those to guyim when they're from treifas. And it's known that at that stage, because it's not identifiable, that is why you're not allowed to sell it to them. It might be over lefeiver, and you're not allowed to buy it from them. So we're back to the question of the brisa. So when are you ever allowed to buy anything? Right here it says you're not. It can't be that it's already taruf bekara. That can't be the metzius. So you have to go back to the issue of it's already whole, and it's already whole. That's why you're allowed to buy it. So the question is, so why do we trust them? Why don't we just do the checking? We're back to that question. Right? We knocked out the possibility of saying that it is already taruf bekara.
because you're not allowed to sell or buy with a guy at that stage. So, Ella, Amar Rav Zeira, Simanim Lav Doraisa. Rav Zeira says, you know what it must be? It must be that the checking, it wouldn't be enough on a Doraisa level. Simanim come up in various contexts, the most famous in Hashavas Aveda, but it comes up in other contexts of halacha as well. Here is one. Simanim Lav Doraisa, the simanim of checking for these eggs, would not be on the level of Doraisa. The Elotim, let's finish first, and then we'll talk more about a couple of issues. The Elotim Ahachi, because if you don't say this, Hada Amar Ravasi Shmona Sveikasein. Remember we said before, in Ravasi, there are 8 birds that we're not sure if they're kosher or not. Shmona Sveikasein, right? We had this earlier, 2 days ago, Daf, Samach Beis Mabeis. So lived up a base of the 2, check their eggs, to see if it has the, if it has one side rounded, one side more pointy. So Elash Ramina Simon Lav Daraisa. So it must be simanim or not Doraisa, and therefore you can't check in those Safek cases, and here too. And that's why you have to rely on the Ne'emanus more than the simanim. Ela, Lamai Hilchazak Tanila. So if the simanim are not Doraisa, so what's the point of the simanim then? What if we have to know the simanim if we're not going to trust them? So says the Gemara, it's really a team effort. Hachi Ka'amar. Beis Rashel Kadin, O Beis Rashel Kadin, if the 2 edges and sides are the same, O Chelmon mi bachutz vechelbon mi bifnim vade tmeya. If it has the simane tuma, then for sure it's not kosher. Reshe chad chad, if one of the heads is sharp, is more pointy, one of them is rounder. V'chelmon mi bachutz, v'chelmon mi bifnim. And you have all the simani tara in place. And v'amar lecha shalof ploni v'tarhu, smoch aleihem. Right? If you have all the simani tara, then you're allowed to rely on them. With the simani tum, it's for sure no good. Simani tara plus their testimony, that's what allows you. B'stama lo tismoch aleihem. But if they didn't say what it was from, so then, even with the simanim, wouldn't be good enough because simanim lav daraisa. Why? Deika to urva de dami lidiyona, because ravens look like yonas, a non-kosher bird look like kosher birds. Therefore, even if he said, if it looks like a tahar bird with all the simanim of tara, still it wouldn't be good enough. You'd still need the reliance on his testimony. Period. Okay, so that is finally figuring out exactly what the Tosefta meant to tell us in terms of the team of the having the simanim, but the simanim aren't good enough to trust themselves. Okay.
According to this, you now need both.
You need both. Simanim is like a prerequisite, but the real Ne'amana seems to be his testimony, but only with the background of the simanim. Two or three ha'aris. Number one, we have this idea. He says, "Ein mocher beit ha'shreva lo v'kolchavim." We have this comes up in another context also. What the Gemara here say? You're not allowed to sell something to a guy. You have to be worried. We have to be worried that for 2 steps, we have to be worried that a guy is going to take this and then sell it to a Jew. Be worried about that. We had this once before in this pesach. We had this back that 10 blot ago on Daf Nun Gimel on the Beis. We had that you're not allowed to sell a Suffolk drusa to a guy. Same thing. The Gemara says, "V'lezivninu l'avi kochavim." Back at Avnun Gimel Amabeis, "Asu lezivninu l'Yisrael." Same thing. You're not allowed to sell things. You have to be worried in a 2-step lifnei iver type of case that he might sell it to a Jew. Or one other context, just to mention these 2. There's a Gemara Maseches Nida on Daf Samach Aleph Amabeis, where the Gemara says, "Beged she'avad bo kilayim." If I had a shirt that I know I had shatnez in, I can't find those strings. I can't find the strings. It's a woolen baguette. It has some linen in it. I can't find the linen in it. You can't sell that shirt to a guy. You can't sell that shirt to a guy because he might then sell it to a Jew and it'll be shatnez. You can't even make it. You can't make it a cushion for your donkey because it might come up on you. Use it for shrouds. The Gemara gets into, that's a loig l'rush sugya, that you allowed to put on shatnez shrouds to a non-Jew. Anyway, that's another example. We're not allowed to sell a beged of kilayim, a beged of shatnez to a guy, because eventually he might sell it to a Jew. There's an interesting discussion that we've shown him there. If you have 3 threads of linen in a woolen beged, is that shatnez? Ask the Gemara, Vim Tamar, V'livtal beruba. Why don't we say there's bitul barov when it comes to the shatnez case? Kid the parchina besof tmura gabi seir nazir shenerag bebeged yidalik liftal baruba. Or he answers in another context. Why don't we say bitul barov? If you have two or three threads, you have a whole beged that's not shatnez. Satosa's answers, very important answer. V'yeshlomar, this is samachal from a beis anida. Delo shayach bitul barov elakishaha iser meurav beheter. Bitul barov is where you have treif that falls into kind of kosher. That's what you have, bitul barov. Aval kilayim sheshneim heter v'ne'esarin al yedei taroves. So kach aser hamaruba kamo amut. You never say bitul barov when you have by shanis. The whole point of shanis, if you have a little bit of shanis mixed in here, that's what asers it. So you don't say bitul barov when it comes to two heterim that are becoming aser. What's the problem with Tosus? What's wrong with Tosus? You have another example of two heterim that become aser. Well, you do say bitul barov. Basa b'chalof is meat, and you have milk. They're two kosher. They're like shatnez. They come together. They're aser, and you go by bitul barov. If you have 60 in the meat, can I get the milk? There is bitul barov. Torah doesn't say a word on this, but there has to be some type of distinction between shatnez, where Tosfos says there is no bitul barov, and basa b'chalav, where there is bitul barov. So the Rosh there, also in Nita, gets into the act on here, but he mentions this, and he says...
It becomes indistinguishable.
Hmm?
When you have basa b'chalav, it becomes indistinguishable at some point in time. That's the 60.
Okay, so maybe there's a difference between the different types of Messiah's types of Tyrovis. Shatnez, but here's a case where you also cannot... find it. But that's your problem. It's your problem. You can't find it. It's not that it becomes together. Right, it doesn't come together. By shatnez, it's still separate within. And therefore, you shouldn't say it. So that's a different answer, Tosfos is saying. It's not really a tyrovis. They give a more basic answer. So the Rosh here tries to give a different answer. The Rosh says, V'adavina b'nisidus tam basa b'chalav, avagata v'heter v'heter v'loshayach b'bitul, shayni hasam, d'derach bishol asra Torah, no Saint Tam is part of the definition of the Yisr by Basar B'chalav. It's not just the Mitzius of Basar and Chalav together. It's Basar B'chalav. Therefore, there's a special din when it comes to Basar B'chalav. That's a great lumdus, though, to talk about. Again, started off with the other Gzeira like we had. You're not allowed to sell a shot in his bag to a guy. And you're like, somebody's in the clothing industry. They have to be worried about this. Nebizman Hazeh, somebody owns clothing stores, and they sell even to non-Jews, shatnez. They have to be worried that that person is going to sell to a Jew. Generally, private people don't sell clothes. People only go to stores to sell clothes. Maybe he's going to give it to his Jewish neighbor. Yeah, this is already assumed that the neighbor is going to go to bring it to check for shatnez. Interesting Lamaisa case, but that's Tosfos and the Rosh over there in Nida, Daf Samach Aleph on the base. Number one. Number two, the other point that mentioned here, continuing now in that Tosfos that we mentioned. Tosfos says the alzeh. Let's start with about the in the Siman Lav Doraisa Tosfos. Tosfos discusses many Lamaisa cases in terms of what is done in terms of buying fish and eggs and other items from a non-Jew. This is the context. This Gemara, we had this discussion a little bit in Masechta Avodah Zarah. In terms of buying other items. But Tosfos here says, it's about the 12th line of Tosfos or so, V'alzeh anu somchin le'echol osan dagim shekorin barbuta belaz. We rely, based on this, to eat eat fish called barbuta. V'afilu lo yadinan im nashu hakashkesin b'shash olam enayam. Even though we're not exactly sure to know if their scales fell off when they, we're not out on the boats, we're not 100% sure, but we rely on them. Samchina nasimane ubari dagim. We rely on the eggs. We look at the eggs, and because the eggs are simani tara, and the fishermen tell us that this is where it came from, so we rely on that. And they tell us that they had scales when they were in the water, which is all they need. They don't need it after they come up from the water. So that's why we rely on eating the barbuta fish. Remember, if we mentioned in the past, another important source related to the barbuta fish. Remember Hagos Ashri. Hagos Ashri quotes in Avodah Zarah, but it's also in Ar Zarua. The Ar Zarua writes in Chelik Beis, in Avodah Zarah, he quotes, V'ani HaMechaber, This is an Oz Reish. Shamati b'pi HaKadosh Abiyud HaChasid Zatzal. Shamar B'lashon HaZeh. Shekomi sheyochal bilbuta. Here he calls it bilbuta. This is a Gersa. Lo yizke lecho levyasan. The bilbuta, this type of fish, there was a big machlokas, but it was a kosher fish on it, and the times that we showed him. So he heard from Rav Yehuda Chassid that if anybody eats this fish, they're not going to eat from the levyasan. Ulamaisa shenishal amar v'chein shamati ala emes. Sherebino Ephraim by Yitzlan Zasal, my Regensburg. One of the Rishonim. Pam achas hiterosam. Right? He matu the balbuta, like Tosa says, Arminak. He matu the balbuta fish. Lo hiterosam. Ubo balaila heviu lefanav bachalom ka'ara malaya shratzim. In his dream, he was sitting there, and the waiter brought him a whole plate of shratzim to eat. Vakas ala mevi. And he got angry. Rabbi Ephraim, in his dream, gets angry at the waiter. What are you giving me the shratzim for? Va'amar lo, lama atakoes, v'halo atahu amatir. What are you getting angry for? You're the one that matir shratzim. V'kos al balachalom, shekach amar lo. He got angry, he said, what's going on here? And all of a sudden he woke up in a sweat. Umitokach hikits, v'nizkar shehitir balbuta bo bayom. And he realized that it must be a simon. Umiyad aman bimitaso v'shiber kol akaderos v'ka'aros sh'achlu behem v'chalaporish b'la ochlam yanuchlo brachas arosho. And that's the Ar Zeruah and Avodah Zarah in Oz Reish. Daf Mem Amud Aleph. That's the machlokes in the days of the Rishonim. What about the balbuta? What about this barbuta fish? Yeah, this relates to, maybe we'll have an Ian Shear on this next week, relates to the balance between psak and heavenly intervention. Right? He pray paskin. What? Because he had a dream? He went back on his psak? That's what it sounds like from here. Because he had a dream. He took it as a simon. Right? We've discussed this in the past. Right? Rabbi Forrest quotes the fascinating story in the Sefer HaKashrus about the halacha, whether a shenas keva of less than 6 hours is enough. Do we say that digestion works differently? Right? Shenas keva should take the place of somebody usually wakes 6 hours, and he wakes that he had a very late barbecue, and he wants to have milchiks in the morning. So the Chassam Sofer is said to have paskin lakula. And then the next morning, he woke up, he poured himself a big hot cup of coffee, and he spilled it all over himself. That next morning, simin! You remember what happened? He took it as a simin that I must be wrong. So again, there's how do you take all of these stories? There are ways to get out of it. The note to be Yehuda has a tshuva in Yaredeya, in Simin Lamed. He says, Ani omer divrei chalomos lo malin v'lo moridin. Umeolom lo shamati lo chiyach din mi bala chalomos hazeh. V'chalomos shov yidabrun. You pass it from a dream. V'im Rabbeinu Ephraim Zatzal Hayat Tzadik v'chassid gadol v'yechoshish l'chalomo sh'nemar lo b'chalom sh'iter sheretz v'yechoshish pen yishmamish b'davar. If he was worried, b'kol makom im haya mis'ames l'Rabbeinu Ephraim sh'ish l'dag zeh kashkashim. If he was really sure that this fish had scales, k'moshin is'ames hadavar l'bali atosis, like our Tosfos said, hayatolah pitaron chalomo al inyan acher sh'haya matir. If he was 100% sure that the fish had scales, he wouldn't have changed his sock. After all, artosis, no, the Buddha says it's mutter. So if he wouldn't have changed his sock, it must be that he wasn't 100% sure. That's why. But if you're 100% sure about something, you can't change your sock based on a dream. Why didn't the Bala Chalom come to Rabbeinu Tam also? Right, if the Malach Halom wanted to send the message, Ulagdoli Aposkum Asheri Tiru Barbuta, Ulagalos Lahem Lios Nire Ma Yechalomosav, quoting all the different phrases from Pashas Miketz and Pashas Vayeshev. Right, so the Malach Halom only came to Rabbeinu Ephraim, he didn't come to other Balaitosis. So it must be that Rabbeinu Ephraim wasn't totally convinced, and therefore he took it as a simin that his netiyah wasn't appropriate. But regarding the other Balaitosis, they must have been Vaday sure. And therefore, it shouldn't be it wasn't a problem for them. Okay, there's also another important part of Tosfos towards the end here, where Tosfos discusses in the wide lines. Tosfos says if we have these egg mixtures that we buy from a guy, is there a problem with buying these egg mixtures from a guy? So Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says it's usher because of bishalakum. It's bishalakum. Therefore, it's a problem. And Tosa says, no, I think there are other reasons to Aser, but I don't think it's Bishul Akam, because the main ingredient in these mixtures that we buy from them is grain. And as we know, the rule by Bishul Akam is you always go by the main ingredient in an item. Main ingredient. As long as there's no, we know that there's no Bishul Akam by the main ingredient, then one can be makel. For example, coffee. Coffee. Can one get a cup of coffee? As long as you know everything is kosher. But can you have a non-Jew boil you up a cup of coffee? The answer is yes. Why? Because the main ingredient in coffee is water. And water can be drunk cold. Nechal kamoshu chai. And therefore, there's no problem. We know Bishul Akam, you need three requirements in order for it to be usser. You need all three for it to be usser. It has to be something that's not able to be in raw, number one. It has to be a chash of food. Ol al shulchan malachim, which is the hardest one to pin down. And also, the guy has to do the entire process. If a Jew does any part of the process, it's not going to be a problem of Bishul Akam. But again, you have those three requirements. So if there's, by any one of them, if you have the main ingredient of an item, that's what Tosa says. The main ingredient of an item is not subject to Bishul Akam, then the whole thing is not subject to Bishul Akam. So coffee is a great example. Any type of drink, there's no Bishul Akam by, because water is the main ingredient. That's a good question. How do you define the main ingredient? What if you have a chicken and vegetable dish, but there's more vegetables in it?
Even in coffee. Your coffee grinds.
Even in coffee. The coffee grinds are the more chashev. Right, the more chashev. But again, any drink is defined as water. Right, any drink is defined as water. But here, if you have chicken and vegetables, you have more vegetables. So that's a good kasha. Do you go by quantity? Do you go by the volume? Or do you go by the chashivas? It's a good question. Good question.
My prophecy do that.
Right. My brachas, you would go by the chashivos, right? But mazonos always, if it's the more, even if it's a tiny amount. Okay, so we can talk more about pasakam and bishul akam, but not for now. But that's in these wide lines of Tosas. We continue now. Amar mar chelbon, but it's 8 lines up. Chelbon vechelmon muravin zebazeh. We know the case where they're mixed up with each other. Biadua she beitzas asheretz. You know if the chelbon and the chelmon are mixed up, you know it's from a beitza of asheretz. Lamai hilchasa. Lamai nafkamina, why is it important to know that it's from the Beitzah v'sheretz? Amar of Ukva Barchama Lomar Shim Rikma v'nikba. If the embryo started forming within the egg and the egg got a little hole in it, mitame b'kadasha, that it's considered a nevela. Nevela is mitame kadasha with a lentil seed. And therefore, as long as there's a little hole in this egg, so we consider it a sheretz. And therefore, not nevela sheretz, and therefore it would be mitama. That's why it's important to know about the chamon and chamon muravin zebazeh. Maskev la ravida v'dilman d'nachashi. What do you mean? Maybe it's a snake. Snake also has these properties, and a snake is not mitame. Snake is not mitame, so maybe it's from a snake. So our answer is ela amarava sheim rikma ve'achla loka lemishim sheretz asharei salaretz. Okay, forget tuma. It's about eating. If this egg takes form and you ate from it, then the malchus that you get is because of sheretz hashoretz al haaretz. That's the issur. That's how it's important to know. It's from the issur sheretz. Rashi says, first wide line, uba'i la'asruye bay mishum sheretz ha'of. And the hasra that you need to give is the sheretz ha'of hasra. Be asru bay mishum sheretz ha'aretz lo laki. You have to give the proper hasra. This is related to a well-known Rashi that the Minchas Chinuch quotes all the time. Rashi in Shu'as Daf Chaf. Rashi there says you have to quote the pasuk when you give hasra, and if you don't quote a pasuk, the right pasuk, then it's a wrong hasra. Rashi is alluding to that, maybe his other shita in Shavuos, that you have to give the sheretz. You have to give not only the Rashi there is even more explicit. Here he just says you have to say the right iser, but you have to say the proper hasra, or else the person won't take you seriously, and it wouldn't be a chiyuv malchus. Okay, so ihachi says the Gemara, my arya de tmeya, afilu tzaranami. So, what do you even have to be talking about? The tamei, the non-kosher, even the kosher ones, are subject to this. The tanya, kol asheretz ashori sa la'aretz, l'rabos efrochem shel niftachu eneyem. Even if you have a kosher bird, if you have a kosher little chick, even a chick that was born already, that didn't open its eyes yet, it's very, very little, so that's also Aser Mishum Sheretz. That's also the Mishum Sheretz. Forget the ones that are still in the eggs. Even after it's born, it's still called a Sheretz. It's surely the ones in the egg. So why do you have to get to the non-kosher, even to the kosher ones? So the Gemara answers, Midrabanan V'kras Machta B'Yalma. No, that's that Efrochim, that extension about the little chicks, that is an extension Midrabanan. So therefore, we wouldn't think that is a Daraisa. Period.
Let's continue a little more. Tana Rabbana. Giulei Beitzim Mutaris. What is Giulei Beitzim? Let's go with Rashi's Pshat. Rashi says Giulei Beitzim means liquid and moisture that comes out of eggs when you cook it. Let's say you cook kosher and non-kosher eggs together in a pot. They're closed. They're not open. They're closed. So Rashi says the kosher eggs are mutter. You don't assume that there was any blia going from the non-kosher to the kosher eggs. Beitzim Muzaros. If you have an egg, muzaros, what does muzaros mean? Rashi says, she'enon shel zachar. They're unfertilized eggs. They're unfertilized eggs. Nefesh yafe tochleim. A yafe, yafe is the opposite of an istinus. Istinus is somebody who always gets grossed out by things. So nefesh yafe is somebody that doesn't get grossed out by anything. So if you eat any kind of eggs, you'll even eat these eggs. Nefesh yafe tochleim. You'll eat these even unfertilized eggs. We'll get back to that. Nimsa ale kurtam. If you find a little bit of blood in the egg, zorek es adam ba'ochel es hashar. Even a fertilized egg, the Rishonim seem to say, right? Then you're allowed to throw out the dam and eat the rest. Eat the rest, because that's not the rest is not considered embryo. Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'husha nimsa la kesha shala. As long as only the blood is found on the kesha shala, which if you look in all the picture books, it's found on the way in. It's found on the way in of the zera of the male. Found on the way in, meaning you know it didn't affect the whole chick yet. If the rest of the egg, if it went in further, then you have to assume that the whole thing was an embryo, and therefore it is already the iser of sheretz. Tani dustoy avuad Rebbe Abturiki. Also a limit. Lo shana el shenimsa al chelbon shela. It's only if it's okay. So it's found on the chelbon, the white outside. Avol nimsa al chelmon shela feilu beitza asura. But if it's found on the chelmon, that means it's already got in, and therefore it's already got in. So you assume the whole egg has been fertilized, and therefore you can't eat it. My taima the shada tichla bakula. Everything is affected. If it's already on the yellow, it's already on the chelmon, and therefore the whole thing would be asur. Period. A little bit more. Amalei Rav Gavia, mi beikasa l'Ravashi, ifchatani tana kameda abaya. Abaya heard the brisa as the opposite. He heard that blood on the chelbon is worse. Ve'abayu detirta ni'alahachi. And Abaya fixed the brisa. I mean, the brisa had the opposite formulation, and Abaya fixed it and said that's not true. Right, the chelbon is worse and not the chelmon. One final point, and then we'll have to stop and pick up with this tomorrow with our machiskia, and that is blood spots bezvan hazeh. Blood spots bezvan hazeh. So what do we say? So Maker Adin, the Ramah quotes in Yeridaya, in Samach Vav Ches, that we are, right, we can be makel by blood spots. Samach Vav Ches, the Ramah says, because all of the eggs that we get nowadays come from sources of eggs that are not fertilized. Mutar lechol beitzim tzliyos av b'sheini yicholim libadik. Ein tzorach livdok beitzim. This is samach vav ches. Ein tzorach livdok beitzim imish b'hem dam. You don't even have to check for blood spots, says the Rama. The somkan al rov beitzim she'im b'hem dam. Mikal makam no'agu l'hachmir. Kishosen maichalim beitzim b'yom sh'roam b'hem imish b'hem dam. So the minhag is to check. Minhag is to check, says the Rambam. But you don't even have to check because you assume the blood is from something else. And this is what Rav Moshe says. This is what Rav Avadi Yosef says. We all say the same nowadays, right? Blood spots, because the eggs that come in most of our countries come from kosher sources. That even blood spots could be. The minhag is to check, and the minhag is if you see one to throw it away. But the rest of the egg is mutter. Rav Moshe says this in already 1957. Tavshin Yud Zayin in Yoredei Chelik Aleph Siman Lamed Vav. Even though he spoke to some farmers, he said that there are some farms that have some males on it, but they keep them separate. Especially Bizban Azeh, though, if you ask the farms that our eggs come from, no, there are no hens anywhere near, and therefore wouldn't be a problem. Yichav Adas has a tshuva about this in Gimel Nun Zayin. Bizmanenu shebechala kibutzim v'hamashkim so grimas atarnagolas belulim b'meshach zman rav vein v'mechitzas atarnagol zachar b'vaday shelechala deyas in lachush lazeh u'beisa shenimsa badam zorek es adam ba'ochel atza beisa v'afilum himasei eza meshachol kibutzim. If you can find one that has some males, called the parish miruba parish, and therefore you could rely that your egg is from the rove, and therefore it is not a problem. It goes through other svaras as well, but he says it's not. Don't consider this a psaksha tamu al rabim, because it's not tamu al rabim. Because it says there's never a psak. Interesting svara. There's never a psak tamu al rabim if you tell them exactly what the reason is and explain it in clear cut terms. That's not a Tumul Rabim. Jedafik Shemor Halacha Bistam, Avalam Omer, Lasholam, Tamadavar, Umarlam Panim Balacha, Osha Mavi Lam Rayas, Bidoka Sefer Mutter. That's not called a Psaka Tumul Rabim. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And B'ed Hashem, we will continue B'ed Hashem tomorrow, back again here from Beit Shemesh.